If you would, make your way to the book of Luke, chapter 1. If you want to use one of the Bibles in the chair in front of you, that would be page 856. Luke chapter 1, we'll be starting in verse 57. We're continuing our Advent series, and interestingly, this passage is a part of Luke's retelling of the coming of Christ, and it's mostly about Zechariah, Elizabeth, and their child, John. But we're going to see very clearly how all that relates to this Christmas season that we call Advent. If you would stand out of respect for God's Word. And we're going to read, or I'm going to read verses 57 through 80. So you'll be standing for a while. Do not lock your knees. We don't want anybody passing out, all right? Luke 1, starting in verse 57. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him Zechariah after his father, but his mother answered, "No, he shall be called John." And they said to her, "None of your relatives is called by this name." And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all their neighbors, and all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him." And his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people and the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Christ. We pray that the word preached would be the word indeed. We pray that you'd communicate your eternal truth to this mortal man. Give us ears to hear and hearts to live for you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So I grew up in Fort Valley, Georgia, which is the next town over on 96, heading west. And if you know anything about forts and where forts are to be built, you would know that you would never build a fort in a valley, right? You build them in high places, and you build them near major waterways. And there are neither in Fort Valley. Well, the rumor has it that back when Fort Valley was petitioning the United States Postal Service for a post office to be placed in Fort Valley, the registration was sent up to Atlanta or wherever it had to go for Fort Valley to register. Fort Valley was originally, supposedly, according to legend, called Fox Valley. And I have seen a red fox one time in Fort Valley running through the pecan groves. But when the clerk got it at the main office for registering the town, apparently he misread what was written. They didn't have computers back then, right? So he took Fox to mean Fort. And so the rest is history. Now we have Fort Valley, an oxymoronic name of a little town that I grew up in. The point I want to make is that we often get messages wrong. And we, in our society, dealing with Christmas, often get the Christmas message wrong. We get it mixed up. Sometimes we think it's, maybe not you guys here, but sometimes our society thinks maybe Christmas is all about, you know, Santa Claus and eggnog. Maybe the ideas of love, peace, and giving, and faith are maybe misconstrued. Those true foundational ideas to the gospel are misconstrued to mean things that they don't really mean, or either keep it all on a human level, human to human level, love, peace, and giving, but not, they kind of deny the God to human level and what took place there. Sometimes Christmas is about faith and faith, right? Pastor Paul said it before. You know, some of these Christmas movies at the end of it all, and that's what Christmas is all about, and it's about faith, having faith. But not, doesn't tell you what to have faith in. You just have faith in faith. Well, our society often gets the message wrong. And when it comes to the gospel, I think that even Christians, we sometimes get the message wrong. Sometimes we view Christ as simply an example to live by. And so we think if we live a certain way and do things right, God will love us more. If we mess up, do something stupid, God will love us less. And then we need to do some good stuff to kind of make up the difference. And that's not the message of the gospel either. The point I want to make this morning is that God is clear on His message. God is clear on His message. He doesn't mess up the message. We're going to see that He worked miracles to accompany the coming of the Messiah. He made it plain when He sent His one and only Son to accomplish His salvation. And He's made His message plain in working salvation in His people and equipping us to take the message to the nations. And of course, He's made it all plain by having His message written down in the Scriptures. So now we're going to talk about this passage from the book of Luke. Nowadays we have neon signs, blinking lights, billboards. All those things exist to capture our attention, right? They exist to say, hey, over here, take a look. You need to see what's going on over here. And I believe God does the same thing with miracles, specifically with the miracle he did with Zechariah, where He made him mute and then gave him speech again. That is miracles, especially in the New Testament, are God's exclamation points. It's God's way of saying, hey, look over here. What's going on is important. And that's what's happening with Zechariah. God is saying to Zechariah, to the people living in that area, and I believe He's saying it to us too, by virtue of having it recorded in Scripture, hey, this is important. You need to look this way. So let's take a look at Zechariah's story. A few weeks ago, Paul preached on Zechariah being visited by the angel Gabriel, right? Zechariah was a faithful priest in the temple in Jerusalem. He was selected to offer incense in the temple. And when he was offering incense in the temple, he was visited by Gabriel, right? The angel Gabriel came to Zechariah and said, hey, you and Elizabeth are going to have a baby. And Zechariah knew that Elizabeth was barren. They had no kids. So he wasn't sure Gabriel really knew what Gabriel was talking about. And so Gabriel responded by saying, hey, this is going to happen. All right, you need to bank on it. And as proof, I'm going to make you mute, where you won't be able to speak. And when the baby's born, you'll have your voice back. And by the way, you need to name the baby John. All right. And so that's how Zechariah was left. Now he was he went to offer incense and now he can't talk. He was visited by Gabriel. This is an example of God saying, hey, take a look here. Listen up. All right. You need to pay attention to what's going on here with Zechariah. And then we're brought to our passage. The baby is born. And it's time to circumcise the baby according to Jewish rituals and rites. And it also happens to be the time that they're going to give the baby its name or his name. And everybody who's gathered around, it's almost like a party, and because it's the naming party, right? The Jewish celebration here. And everybody assumes that Elizabeth and Zechariah are going to give the baby the same name as Zechariah. He's going to get a family name, because that's what you do. You give the baby a family name. And so Elizabeth basically said, nope, we're going to name him John. And the people are like, what? Why are you going to do that? That's not a family name. And eventually they give a tablet to Zechariah, and Zechariah writes the name John. He's going to be named John. And when he shows it to everybody, everybody's like, what? What's going on? And as soon as he wrote the name John, he was allowed to speak again. And what does the Bible say? The Bible says the people were amazed, and they went and they talked about it. This made no sense. It didn't make sense that he just automatically got his voice back. It was basically what? A miracle, right? And what do miracles do? They get our attention and they show us, hey, this is important. What's happening here is important. And that's what God does when he took Zechariah's voice away, and that's what he does when he gives Zechariah his voice back. God had gotten their attention. Now, I bet you never thought of God as a marketer, right? A public affairs expert. But this probably worked better than a billboard or blinking lights, although he would have his own version of the blinking lights a little later, right, with the Star of Bethlehem. God was the public affairs expert. He was a marketer. He knew what he was doing. He was getting people's attention. But we need to understand that when we see miracles, that the miracle is not the message. The miracle is not the message. The miracle is a sign on the interstate. The miracle is a signpost. Think about it. If you're driving down I-75, you see a billboard for a big juicy burger. You don't pull over and try to eat the billboard. The billboard's pointing you to the destination, right? If you're driving down the interstate, you see a sign for Atlanta 50 miles away. You don't stop and pull over, take pictures and say, hey, we made it. That's not Atlanta. That's a sign. Miracles, signs, they point us towards something else. They get our attention and they point us on down the road. That's what we need to do when we see this miracle taking place with Zechariah. We need to see the miracle for what it is. It is pointing us down the road to Christ Jesus. It is declaring that the Messiah is about to be born. Jesus is the point of God's miracle with Zechariah. Okay? So we need to understand that. We need to follow the signs. We need to look at this story, and we need to let that story point us to Christ. We need to look at this supernatural intervening of God and let the recording and recollection of that in history put down on paper. We need to let that buffet our faith. To me, a miracle like this being recorded and verified by people, it adds support and strength to the story of the coming of the Messiah. It adds strength to our faith. It adds strength to this thing we call Christianity. It adds strength to the argument that Christ is the Son of God. So let this story do that for you. Jesus is the incarnate Son of God. Jesus is the one we rightfully celebrate at Christmas. This miracle with Zechariah, which points to Christ, is one of the first and earliest miracles in a long line of miracles. From the dealing with Zechariah to the virgin birth to Jesus turning the water to wine at the marriage feast, to him healing demoniacs, healing folks who are crippled, to him being raised from the dead and ascending to heaven. All those are miracles that do what? They point to Christ as the Son of God. Let those miracles do that for you. And let God's supernatural intervening in history buffet and strengthen your faith. Jesus is the Son of God, the friend of sinners, and the Redeemer of men. And every miracle in his life, and even leading up to his life, points us to that truth. Follow the signs to the destination. Follow the signs to that which satisfies. Follow the signs to Christ and take what he has to offer. Let's talk about Zechariah's prophecy. Sting, I don't know if you know who Sting is, not the wrestler, but the songwriter. He has a song that speaks to the human condition. It's called Fragile. On and on the rain will fall like tears from a star, like tears from a star. On and on the rain will say how fragile we are, how fragile we are. The bottom line is life is hard, the world is fallen, and we are broken. Some of us have a hard time singing joy to the world this season because joy seems to be painfully absent. Some of us have a hard time saying happy holidays because the holidays don't seem to be very happy. Whether it's a sin struggle, the loss of a loved one, a failing relationship, a physical illness or ailment, the bottom line is we're fragile, we're broken, and we need redemption. So when we take a look at what Zechariah has to say, as soon as he's given the voice to speak again, he gives us a beautiful poem that I believe meets us at our deepest need and points us to our ultimate cure. If we were to go back and read his prophecy, his song, his poem of celebration, you would find things. He mentions things like God's redemption. He mentions the fact that God has visited us. He mentions the fact that God has kept his covenant promises. God looked down on the sinfulness of man. And he sought Abraham out. He covenanted with Abraham and made a promise to Abraham that I will be your God. You and your descendants will be my people. And then he visited with his people throughout Israel's history. He was faithful to Israel throughout their history. Through the prophets, he foretold of the Messiah. And then he talks about this thing called the horn of salvation that would come from David's line. Well, what is the horn of salvation? A horn in Old Testament times was a symbol of strength. Animals with horns tended to be the strong animals, right? Has anybody ever seen a horned cat? No, no horned cat. Anybody seen a horned mouse? No. A horned chicken? No. Those aren't strong animals. The horn was a sign of strength. Do not be fooled by the baby in the manger. That baby was still and is still the incarnate Son of God. Yes, he humbled himself and became human and limited himself in that way, but he was still the incarnate Son of God. And that little baby was going to grow up to accomplish salvation for God's people. There's something mighty in the manger. God had a purpose in sending us Christ Jesus, and that was to save us. Christ is the fulfillment of God's covenant promises. All that God promised to Abraham and Israel found its fulfillment in Christ Jesus. He saved us from our greatest enemies, sin and death. He's rescued us from the fear of facing a holy God on our own merits. He's robed us in holiness and righteousness. And that's why Christmas is such a big deal. Think about it. Zechariah was a priest of the law. He was silenced. And then when he was given his voice back, what did he do? He spoke of the coming Messiah. He spoke of Christ who was going to fulfill the law. So in a sense, the demands of the law have been fulfilled. The demands of the law have been silenced. And that was pictured in Zechariah being a priest of the law, was silenced to announce the coming of Christ Jesus, our hope and our salvation. That's why we can say Merry Christmas. That's why we can sing Joy to the World, Peace on Earth, Goodwill to Men, because of what Christ has done on our behalf. Jesus has brought peace between God and man. The gift of Christ triumphs anything you can stuff in a box, wrap up, put a bow on, and put under the Christmas tree. So my advice to us is to give our Christmas celebrations and traditions their proper meaning. This week, children, listen, if you haven't listened at all, okay? Children, do not let the thrill of presents on Christmas morning overshadow your appreciation of God's gift to us in Christ Jesus. Parents, don't let the thrill of surprising your children with gifts overshadow the way that God surprised us by giving us His Son. and showing us love and compassion. Families, this week, when you're gathered around the tree, take a look at whatever you put on top of it. Remember why you have a star up there or an angel up there. Remember how that points us to Christ and the gospel and the true Christmas story. Families, as you're gathered around, remember that Christ Jesus has made you a part of God's family. It's because of Him that we are a part of God's family. We are fragile, but God redeems. And that's what Christmas is all about. Let's talk about John. Let's talk about the messengers. The James Farley Post Office in New York City has this inscription on their building. Neither snow nor rain nor heat nor gloom of night stays these couriers from their swift completion of their appointed rounds. We're all familiar with the old United States Postal Service slogan, right? Through rain, sleet, or snow. We know about the Pony Express, right? It has its history with the United States Postal Service. In the 1800s, they ran their ponies to deliver mail through hostile Indian territory. If we go way back to the marathon runners, there's this guy named Pheidippides. He was a soldier in the Athenian army, and he ran a marathon. It's called Marathon because there was a battle in this place called Marathon and against the Persians. He fought in that battle, and the Athenians won. And he ran from Marathon to Athens, however long that was, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, I don't know. However long it was, a marathon's worth distance. He ran that whole distance without stopping, delivered a message saying, look, the Persians have been defeated, and then he died. But he went the distance, he did what he was called to do. That's kind of where we should be. But if we look at Zechariah's prophecy is, it's basically a commissioning of John. Zechariah is telling his son, look, you're going to be a messenger, but also here's your message. All right? You're going to be a messenger, but here's what you're going to say. All the stuff we just looked at from Zechariah's prophecy a minute ago about the salvation in Christ Jesus, that is going to be John's message. And now Zechariah is saying, John, you're going to grow up and you're going to deliver that message. Go before the Lord and prepare the way. Make a straight path for Jesus. Now, when I hear this, I think of trailblazing. If I were a trailblazer, and so before me is woods and brush and everything else, rocks, I am going to make the straightest lane and the widest lane possible and the smoothest lane possible so the people who use my trail can get from point A to point B. Because what's the shortest distance from point A to point B? It's a straight line. Bam, just like this carpet runner down the middle of the sanctuary. A good trailblazer, that's what he's going to do. And that's what John was supposed to do for Jesus. Proclaim Jesus as clear as day, so that if people get on your trail, right, if people listen to your message, they'll know exactly what you're talking about and who you're pointing to. You're pointing to Jesus Christ. Well, that should be the same with our lives. If people get on our trail, if they watch us, they should see Christ as the center and the end and the destination. They should be able to walk behind you and end up at Christ's feet. Now, what happens? Sometimes our paths are kind of crooked. Sometimes we have a lot of shrubbery and rocks in the way. And that's the kind of stuff we need to clear out on a daily and weekly basis. That's what the whole practice of repentance is about. It's kind of clearing the way. Sin, lack of repentance, self-dependency, these things get in the way and they make our trail blurry for others who would follow. But we are called to make straight the path for Jesus. And we have a message that we're supposed to proclaim, just like John had a message he was supposed to proclaim. So what is our message to be? Well, if we look at Zechariah talking to baby John, He basically says three things. Your message should give knowledge, light, and guidance. Knowledge, light, and guidance. Knowledge of salvation and repentance in Christ. Folks need to know that when we see God for who He is, as holy and righteous, we see ourselves for who we are, as sinful, and then we look to Christ and see Him for who He is, and if we trust in Him, He is our atonement. He makes us one with God. He makes us children of the Lord. That is knowledge of salvation and knowledge of repentance. We need to repent of our sins so that we can receive the forgiveness of Christ and come into fellowship with the Father. Then light. We need to understand that the purpose and meaning of life is found in the fact that Jesus Christ is Creator and Lord. And in our lives, we should preach that. We should have a life centered around Christ, an understanding that Christ is Creator and Lord. We should have a life that's oriented towards Christ. And when people see that, and they, it's just like this. What do I want you to see right now? All right, I want you to see that wreath over there. That's because I'm pointing at it. Well, a life of repentance, a life that's centered around Christ, you are facing this way. And everybody, when they see you, their attention is drawn to you, to that which you are facing and that which you have made the center. And that should be the same for us. That should be a part of our message. And then with guidance, Zechariah talks about the way of peace. The only way we can have peace with God is through Christ Jesus. And our lives should be marked by peace. A peace that's found only in relationship with Christ Jesus. A peace that doesn't make much sense. A peace and contentment that shows that our deepest need has been met in Christ Jesus. Now, here's a question. When we fail to proclaim that message clearly and faithfully, right? When we end up making a curvy path, when we have a lot of rocks and brush in the way, what are we to do then? Well, we repent. We rejoice in the forgiveness that Christ has given us. The mark of a Christian life is not perfection. The mark of the Christian life is repentance. If you were to read forward and read about John the Baptist, you would see that he did what he was called to do. He did what he was called to do. He did not hold back. He was bold and fearless, and they eventually took his life. But they did not kill the message. They took his life, but they did not kill the message. We have a message worth sharing. We should go in boldness, prepare the way of the Lord this Christmas season. Now, as we wrap up, I'm going to use this this old, overused exercise here. If an alien visited our planet, and I'm not saying aliens are real or not, but if an alien visited our planet, what would he think the Christmas message is? All right. Would he think it's capitalism on steroids? Businesses trying to operate in the black before the new year comes? Would he think Christmas is about a big white-bearded man and flying reindeer and elves? Would he think Christmas is about parades and candy and gift-giving? Would he think that Christmas is a heartwarming time of year where people are nice to each other and families share a little reunion? Or would he understand that 2,000 years ago, in the fullness of time, God sent His Son, born of a woman, to live the life we couldn't live, to die the death we couldn't die, and to pay the sin debt we couldn't pay? Would He know that we celebrate the season of Emmanuel, of God with us? I want to encourage you to teach the miracle and salvation of Christmas in your homes this week. Share it with family. Share it with coworkers, and last of all, preach it to yourself. Jesus is the message. We are the messengers. Run the race with boldness and ride that horse fearlessly through the rain, sleet, and snow of life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You again for Your word and pray that You would apply it to our hearts. We thank you for giving us Jesus. We thank you for giving us opportunities this week to share the message of Christ in Christmas. Pray that you give us the boldness that Zechariah talked of. Pray that you give us a continual reliance on your grace and mercy. Pray that your Spirit would convict us of our sin so that we can enjoy the benefits of Christ's work and the forgiveness that he has to offer. God, we thank you for Christmas. Pray that you give us some happy holidays. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.